We're talking Red Claws today on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Taco Fall, Romeo Langford, Tremont Waters, and we're going to get the word from Red Claws play-by-play guy Chris Sedanka. Millie's, let's go.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my baby, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Siege jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Siege, that's the best way. Melly.
Happy Friday. You've made it to the end of your work week. And I am here to get that Friday feeling going. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. I am sitting here in San Francisco, California, ready to cover the Boston Celtics at Golden State, the beginning of a long road trip where they will be tested, just like I said in last night's podcast. But today was a travel day. There's nothing really going on with the Celtics, so I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to get an update on the main Red Claws. So I called my buddy, Chris Sedanka, who is the play-by-play guy for the Red Claws. He's also one of the hosts of the PM Jab in Portland, Maine, 96.3. If you're in that area, then you know already. I do a regular appearance on the Big Jab with him and Javier Garrity every Wednesday at 6.30. Today, Chris is returning the favor, and we're going to do this regularly. We're going to have him on every couple of weeks to talk Red Claws. You guys want to know how Taco's doing, how Tremont's doing, how Romeo's doing if he's on assignment, or whomever else might be sent to Portland to get a little G League action. So, Chris, this is going to be the first of a regular set of appearances every couple of weeks on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So, let's get to it. Chris, thanks for joining the Locked On Celtics podcast. This is awesome. I always love when I flip it and you're a guest on my show versus me being a guest on your show up in Maine. This is going to be great.
Very true. Very true.
This is great. Like, how excited are you for this Red Claw season?
John, it's probably the most excited that I've been since year one, and it's not a knock on, you know, what this team has been over the years. It's just the simple fact that, you know, we've never had anything like what we've seen at the beginning of the season with Taco Fall here. I mean, it's the biggest name that the Red Claws have had in a long, long time, and just from a wondrous perspective, we don't really know what it's going to be, right? We have no idea how well he's going to play. He might end up being a great talent, or he might just be a kid who ends up going overseas and having a nice career in Europe. And it's just the wonderment of that, of what it might be and how he might help this team and how loaded this team really is when we look at the whole roster, which I'm sure we'll do. But ultimately, you know, he showed up. You and I have talked about this a lot. He showed up in summer league and ultimately showed he belongs and gets, you know, he deserves an opportunity, and he's going to get that this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him and you say, all right, like at first glance, when I first watched him at UCF, I remember sitting there at a bar watching this game, like, look at this guy, and talking to people and be like, you know, he's one of those guys that in college is probably going to be pretty good because he's just gigantic and you throw it in there and he's just going to dunk on people. But
sure.
I kind of dismissed the possibility of him being an NBA level talent because just the way he moved and all that stuff, I was like, it's probably not just going to translate. But then he goes to summer league and you realize, like, okay, he's actually keeping up with these guys. He moves well. He's bigger than he looked on TV. They recreated that Manute Bol, Muggsy Bogues picture.
Yes, they did.
you look at Manute Bol, and he looks like you took like a 5'11 dude and stretched him out to 7.5 feet. Taco looks like a normal person. Like, if you didn't have context and you just took a picture of Taco without realizing how tall he was, he just looked like a normally proportioned person. But then you throw him out there, oh, whoa, he's 7.5 feet tall. So all of that is to say that he's got physical tools that are different. And some of his performance, I think, will be by virtue of him being big. But
yes, it will. Yep.
He'll also, I think, like the Celtics are actually like looking at him saying, huh, this guy could actually like maybe be a player. Let me ask you this. He had 13 and 11 in his first game. How much of that was because he was big, and how much of it was because he actually did like basketball things?
I would say mostly basketball things. It was a legit 13 and 11, and I think that's what's nice about the G League now is that the NBA has really accepted it as a true development league in the standpoint where they, you know, the Celtics can go out there and they can use one of these two-way player spots for a player that they truly don't know about. And that's essentially what they did. It was Max Strus, who I think they believed had a much better upside at the time, but that was then all of a sudden you see Taco do what he does in the summer, then this fall in camp, and they make that switch. And what they're able to see, John, is we're going to give this kid a year mostly in Maine, sometimes up with the Celtics, but we're going to see, is it just that he's taking advantage of his size against G League teams that have, you know, at most maybe a 6'8 or a 6'7 guy down low who's decent? Or is this going to be pretty legit? And I think when you look at game one, it was a lot of upside. And the first thing that jumps out at me is 26 minutes.
Yeah.
That's good. That's
really
very
good.
Because I expected maybe first few weeks, maybe you're getting 20 to 22. But, you know, he got a decent number. You know, he was all over the glass, which was nice to see. And obviously he should be in this league. But 13 points, too. And I think he ended up with 3 or 4 blocks, and that's a good all-around first game that, sure, people are going to be kind of in awe at times and probably intimidated by his size and his athleticism at his size, but I think by the end of this year he'll prove himself to be what, he either we expect to see or, you know, don't expect to see, but I think we'll get a true sense of what it's going to be by the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you the two numbers that really stand out to me more than the blocks, rebounds, and points were 3 fouls. So he wasn't hacking, and that meant even like I didn't watch the game, but when knowing what I know about Taco, I think, well, if he's only fouled 3 times, that means he's getting into decent position. He's got his arms up, which is he should do, but he's not behind on any plays. And then only 2 turnovers, which is, I think, a big deal for him, because the biggest weakness I see is because of his high center of gravity, he'll get pushed out, and he's going to have to either try to put the ball on the floor or put the ball low and have that thing stripped. So in his first game, only 1 game, to only have 2 turnovers, that to me was not bad at all.
And, you know, not at all. And the G League is a league where you're going to see a wealth of turnovers. Typically,
close to
20 a night, and it's for all different reasons. And early in the season, it makes sense because these kids have basically played 1 week together or a week and a half.
Sure.
Coming in. Now, some know each other from being on the team before. Some know each other from Celtics camp, but it's all coming together. Brand new head coach and Darren Erman. So you are talking about a lot of things falling into place for every single team in the G League. So to see only a couple turnovers, that's a very good sign, John. And you're right about the 3 fouls, too. You know, we've seen a lot of big men. We see a ton of big men in the G League, and we see a ton of big men. And what I mean by that is not 6'8", 6'9", but guys who are over 7 feet, because those guys are going to always get opportunities, because if these teams can find play and find a way that these players can be valuable, that's huge because of their size, and especially if they're athletic. So I think, a lot of times, though, we see a lot of those guys just not be able to play, not be able to move their feet. Like you said, they usually play, maybe 8 to 10 minutes averaging. So again, these are all just really good signs for the Red Claws and specifically for the Celtics that Taco went in there and had a very good start.
Yeah. Taco has surprised me for sure. I admit I was pretty dismissive, of what he might contribute, but so far, in seeing him in summer league, you say, oh, okay. And then you see him in preseason, you're like, okay, a little something. This is going to be he is really the perfect guy for the G League. He really is.
It's
exactly what you said. I've been such an advocate for a true minor league for the NBA. They're getting closer. They're going to definitely maximize Taco's days. He's going to get all 45 days. He's going to get, I forget what the number is, but whatever, however many hundreds of thousands of dollars it's going to take.
Yeah, for like 220, 225 or whatever.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah, he's going to get all of that, which is great. And then we'll see. Now, my biggest question for Taco, after a year in the G League, does he prove himself to be one of those guys that if he stays in the NBA, okay, maybe they sign him to one of those like 3-year, $9 million, $8 million deals or something like that. But like some team in Spain would be like, well, we'll give you $20 million. Because it's a different league and you can do so much more for us. Like,
right.
That's going to be the question about when it comes to keeping Taco, if he proves himself to be worthy of that, is he going to all of a sudden like play himself into a spot where the Celtics really, because the Celtics aren't going to pay him that kind of money.
Yeah. And it's a great question, John. And we've seen that quite a bit. And I think you see a lot of guys who are right around that line of quad A, if you will, as we like to say, from a baseball term, the player is not exactly a pro, but he's better than probably the highest level. I think by the end of this year, we might get a sense of exactly. Yeah. Jordan Mickey's that's a great guy to bring up. He is, would dominate the G League, would come up. He just didn't fit in the NBA. And now overseas, he's tearing it up. And
yeah.
I think Taco is a great candidate for that. I really do. I don't think at the end of this year, even if it's successful, it's a guarantee that he's going to be in the G League next year or in the NBA. I wouldn't be surprised if there was that team in Europe, because I think teams will throw decent money, and he'll probably see at least early. I bet you he gets offers that are better than what the NBA is expected to give him. The question is, you know, what kind of guarantee is that? How many years is that? How much do you trust the team that you're going to get paid? So there's still a few of those speed bumps in the European game. Not at the highest levels, obviously, and he'll be okay there. But at the same time, maybe Taco is willing to stick it out here in the U.S. If he's not ready next year for the NBA, maybe another year does the trick. Maybe there's more money down the road. So I think he's got a lot of options right now. And I think the G League has actually helped with that too, how much they have, grown in with this minor league basketball system for Taco, make a little bit more money than, you know, say 5 or 6 years ago, what it would have been, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, John, he's playing in Europe right now.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he's not sticking around in the G League. There's no point. Go make money, and maybe 2 or 3 years from now, the Celtics or somebody else will decide to bring you over, like we've seen with Wanamaker and a couple other guys. So,
right.
There would be no point for him 5 years ago, or not even 3 years ago. So I like that the NBA has made it much more of a destination.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
One of the big names that the hot name right now is Romeo Langford, because Gordon Hayward's hurt, and he's the one guy that we haven't seen is some really terrible injury luck, obviously coming off the thumb surgery, then a groin injury, and then a knee sprain, slipping on a wet spot of all things. So, but now that Gordon's out for at least a few weeks, everybody's thinking like, hey, we've got this lottery pick. The one lottery pick that we've got out of this group of rookies. Let's see what he's got. He's obviously not ready yet. The Celtics need him and want him to get these reps in the G League. He had one game, an awesome game, where he dropped 27 points and only 2 turnovers. He blocked 6 shots, which I didn't expect. He hit 2 of 6 from 3. What did you see from Romeo in his main Red Claws debut?
People always ask me, what should be expected when a player gets assigned? And I don't mean a two-way player, but a true player getting assigned, a first-round pick, a James Young-type player who is going to get some time. Marcus Smart did that. Why is his name already escaping? Terry Rozier.
Terry played quite a few games. Avery Bradley did it.
And typically when they would come down, it would be very noticeable, and they'd be very good. Others, not so much. James Young, it didn't work out. Romeo Langford is exactly what you should look like if you're on assignment.
Right.
It should look like you are better than everyone else because you are. You are a lottery pick. You should score 27 points. You should shoot 75% for the game or whatever it was. He was on fire throughout that game. You should be able to dominate your position, and that's exactly what he did. And I expect the same thing for the rest of this weekend. He's a great player, John, and it seems to me like this is game shape for him. Getting as many minutes. He played 33 in that first game. I would expect, to get something similar to that here this weekend as well. And that's exactly what the Celtics are looking for, because for the next 6 weeks or so, if they can get him on the court, getting some valuable minutes, he's just another one of those young players who'd be making an impact for Boston.
So the big question that really, when it comes to Romeo, that you need to ask is, how did his jumper look?
Fine, and that's the question, is moving forward here through one game, it's fine, and he went 10 for 15, and some of that was up close, and I get that, but he hit two or three threes, I can't remember.
Yeah, so
2 of 6. So he was decent from downtown, if you will, especially in one game, but ultimately he's somebody that needs to improve that shot. That was probably, what would you say, that was his biggest thing coming out of college?
Yeah, obviously I think there's a big question about whether the thumb injury, first of all, was the reason or exacerbated a reason. And the other question with that thumb injury is, did it create some habits that are now hard to break?
Right.
I sat there watching him warm up before this last game where the Celtics just beat I can't believe I just forgot who they play.
Washington.
Oh, my God.
Washington?
I was watching. I just got off a six-hour flight. I'm in a hotel room in San Francisco.
I hear you.
I'm just like, wait, what day is this? I'm sitting there watching him warm up before the Washington game. And I got to tell you, I just don't like the form. It comes across his body. So it's not straight up and down. Now, I believe I was taught in a very traditional way. So I like the perfect form jumpers, elbow tucked in, high release, and all that stuff. I also know that if it works for you that you're not that, then fine. I'm not gonna tear your jumper apart if it works. So now the question is, will it work? And if it doesn't, then you got to get into what can we do about tucking that elbow in, getting that release a little higher, because he shoots it from in front of his forehead. So I think the biggest obstacle for him is right now that jumper.
Yeah. And, I think it's something that he'll probably be working on at both levels. And that's the nice thing, too, is you'll have a lot of the player development guys come down from Boston or up, however you want to look at it from a geographical perspective or from from a team perspective. And you also have numerous player development guys who work for the Red Claws, too. So that's probably some of the things they'll be working on. I'm sure Coach Irvin's going to be talking about this weekend. But, I mean, if they can get him back up to speed, John, and that shot is looking pretty, I would imagine the Celtics would. If they can get away with him playing down here for the majority of the season, that's never a bad thing.
Right.
If he's just going to be sitting the bench, I get that. But with some of the injuries the Celtics have already deal with, it's never a bad thing to have some depth.
I was just having a conversation on Twitter about I think right now the Celtics do have some weaknesses on their bench. Like they don't really have scorers on the bench. They have a very top heavy. You know that four guys are going to do the majority of the scoring in Kemba, Jalen, Jason, and Gordon, and then Marcus Smart's going to chip in from time to time. Once in a while, he's going to have an 18-point game like he did, or 17-point game like he did against Washington. Then he's going to have like a 6-point game. So it would be nice to have a guy like Romeo coming off the bench.
Yep.
That's kind of like the one thing I'll say about from what I've seen, he is a very smooth kind of like gets to spots on the floor and you don't realize how he got to those spots on the floor and gets to the spots where he's most comfortable scoring and
sure.
able to draw those fouls. So that much is good. So I'm cool with that. And if the jumper's a little suspect, but he can still do all that other stuff, then that's fine for now. He'll have time to work on that. My view is the Celtics, instead of making a trade, maybe the development of Romeo, and maybe Carson goes down there and gets some reps too, or maybe just waiting for him to get more consistent. Instead of a trade deadline thing, if these guys are kind of ready to make some bench contributions by February, March, that's sort of like getting a player at the deadline.
Sure. Yeah. That is exactly what it's like. So, you're right about that.
So, I mean, that's – so I feel like Romeo is going to get plenty of time to kind of develop, and we'll see. Yeah, I've said
this. I would be all about the Tremont Waters – Carson Edwards backcourt of 5'10", 5'10".
That would be amazing.
with Taco in the game. Yeah.
Right, of course. The pick and roll with Taco. Taco should be the ball handler in that pick and roll.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
All right, you past, present, and future MyBookie players, there is something happening here that really never happens in sports betting. It is a risk-free bet on the Thanksgiving Bears-Lions game. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congratulations, you get extra money to spend around the holidays. If you lose, hey, congratulations, because MyBookie will give you all of your money back. So it's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. So it doesn't matter if you're an experienced player or first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes everybody to play, so quit waiting around. Sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to bet on sports but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the entire process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. So let me just repeat this for you. That's a guaranteed deposit match. Whatever you deposit, you get that matched, plus a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You just can't lose. So make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on that gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's talk about Tremont Waters, because we're just talking about a smooth guy. I think Tremont Waters is just an absolutely fantastic basketball player. And the only thing about him is his height, because and I'm absolutely not surprised by 28 points to lead the team. What do you have? 7 of 11 from 3, 9 of 18 overall.
He was lights out. Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to shoot 7 of 11 for 3, but like he, every time he's gotten into a game with a Celtics jersey on, summer league, preseason, this, Red Claws, he has been just, you talk about smooth guy, the game comes naturally. He knows how to play basketball. Like I think Tremont Waters is going to be the most fun guy to watch in Maine.
I think so too, and he kind of got lost in the Taco, craziness, which is totally understandable. But yeah, I mean, here's another really really nice young player who looked like it was his first pro game the other day. He caught fire, but there were some other things. Turned the ball over. Didn't play great defense. I think he either 4 or 5 fouls. I think it was 5 fouls. And so just ultimately, this was a game where you saw a little bit of everything from him, and I think you're going to see that a lot of this year. And not a ton of assists, but here's the funny thing, John. The Red Claws broke the record. They broke the team record for points in a game, 148. 16 assists.
That's insane. I didn't even see that. That I don't even, how is that even possible?
I don't know if that's. I have to think that that's wrong. Maybe that's wrong. I have to go look at my actual official stat book. But
that's right, though. I mean, I'm looking at the box score.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it literally makes no sense.
16
assists. So what's that tell you? It tells you that maybe a little bit too much dribbling around. You know, obviously making buckets off shots, which is good. Maybe there are a lot of you had some fast break stuff, obviously, in that game, but. Ultimately, maybe not the best ball movement that you would like to see, and I think Tremont Waters is going to that will change. The more reps he gets, the more time he's going to get. I think that offense is going to run very well.
Can I tell you that one possible answer for why 16 assists is that they're actually doing like what an assist should really be, and not some of the very, very, very liberal definitions of assists in the NBA.
Like, John, that is very true. They are very hardcore about the stats in this league, which is cool.
Yeah. So I would say that I don't even know how it went, but I bet you if you played that game film for an NBA scorer, that would turn into like 27 assists or something ridiculous like that. Dude, I'm looking because every once in a while, you know, you That's click hilarious. The box score, and you try to go through and you say, oh, wow, this guy had a bunch of assists. And, you know, I've seen like a dribble handoff on the left side above the break, two dribbles, a spin, and a jumper from the left mid-range, and that's an assist. Like, no. No, I don't think so. So, yeah, I'm sure. But back to the original point, there's still the opportunity when you score 148 points, even if it was 20 something assists on 53 made field goals, you should have more than 16 real honest to goodness assists. So there's something
there. Of course. Yeah, there's something there, but I just, and going back to Tremont, I think fans are going to love him. You know, I don't think as many people clearly, you know, they don't know the story as much about him, but if you're a college basketball fan, and he just absolutely wreaked havoc in the SEC and was really fun to watch. And he's a good scorer too. There's a lot of decent scorers on this team. I think they're going to score a lot of points this year. Defensively, not a great showing, but again, the G League is literally about coaching defense. That's what this league is truly about. It's about taking those guys who are those 4A guys or those guys who, you know, you want to have as your eighth or ninth guy off the bench and basically be like, dude, you got to play better on defense. And this is how we're going to try to do it. Like it's that simple. It's really that simple. So it's been, you know, that's a huge factor when it comes to Taco, a huge factor when it comes to Waters, a huge factor when it comes to everyone else on this team.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, a lot of people here are going to be watching the Red Claws live on NBC Sports Boston. It's like a Celtics doubleheader. You get the Red Claws first at 7. And then the Celtics at Golden State, which is why I'm in San Francisco, after that at 10:30. They're obviously looking for Taco. They know Romeo. They know Tremont. They don't know a lot of these other guys. So give us a little rundown of who else is out there and who we should be watching.
Sure. And the one of the best things about this team this year is that you have some guys returning. And if you have returning players in this league, it typically means you're going to be pretty competitive because you have some vets. It's all well and fun to have all the youngsters on the team, but when you do not have veteran leadership, it shows. So coming back, Justin Bibbs. Justin Bibbs is a great scorer. He's a great sixth man. That's the position he played the other night. He got a call up, if I remember correctly. Was it Brooklyn last year? But he got a call up last year in the NBA, and he's back to play with this team. Trey Davis is back, who is Marcus Smart's good friend. Trey Davis put 50 plus in a few years ago. He's a tremendous scorer. He'll be a small guy coming off the bench to score. Sheldon Jeter, a good defensive stopper from last year's team. He's back. John Bohannon, who is going to be probably one of the backups when it comes to the big men. He has a lot of experience in this league. Jayshon Page is an outstanding scorer from my old alma mater, WVU. He'll be kind of a scorer coming off the bench. And then also in the starting lineup, Kaiser Gates, who Celtics fans may know, and Bryce Brown, both guys who had some experience and played very well. They've been in NBA camps. So this team is loaded, John. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. You might see some 10 days with some of these other players outside of the two ways. So I think people coming up to watch this team, just, it's not going to be just about Taco. Maybe when they're buying tickets, it is, but they'll come to watch this team. They'll see a very, very solid basketball team.
Yeah, I think the Red Claw is going to be a lot of fun this year, and we're going to have you on kind of sort of regularly on
the podcast.
Yeah,
I look forward to it, yeah.
That's something that we just kind of sort of figured out like 20 minutes ago, but I think it's going to be great for the listeners. There's going to be high interest. They're going to want to know how these guys are doing, and who better than you to do it. So I'm excited to be bringing you on every couple of weeks to talk Red Claws, man.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, John. I should mention, too, that this is the first year the Celtics are owning Red Claws. So
that's
the
true.
New ownership has moved in. So this is now the first year under the complete ownership of the Boston Celtics, which is exciting. Obviously, the local guys did an outstanding job, and it was a wonderful, wonderful run of 10 years. Hard to believe, but it's very exciting to have the Boston Celtics come into town.
Yeah, that's what they call synergy. Or something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Chris. Thanks again, man. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Always appreciate it, John. Take care, man.
As we just said on the podcast, you can watch this game live on Friday night on NBC Sports Boston. You can watch it on Twitch. You can go to the G League website and find ways to watch it if you're not in the Boston area. So you won't miss it. But if you are in the Boston area, then you can watch it on NBC Sports Boston and get a kind of doubleheader with the Red Claws and the Celtics. That'll be fun to see. I'm excited to watch some of these G League games and see how these guys are progressing. Again, Chris will be part of the podcast every couple of weeks to get a G League update. So you can keep up with all of these guys. I'm excited for that too. If you are also excited for this, then you should be subscribing to this podcast, because we're going to be doing things like this. Different guests, different kind of features. So subscribe. You never know what it's going to be. Hit that subscribe button wherever podcasts exist. If you're listening on Twitter or something and you have a podcast app, go to that podcast app or Spotify and subscribe to the show. Regular subscribers, you know what I'm looking for, that 5-star rating, that good written review. And I'm hoping that you're sharing the podcast with your friends, your family, your enemies, random people on the streets, whatever. Tell them to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.